A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM. And it's a beautiful Thursday morning, the 5th of February. The year is 2026. So, and a very welcome, a warm welcome to Unpacking the Day. And if you're just joining us, well, me being a good teacher, I will still allow you to come into a class. So we are right at the beginning of the show. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here, and always curious, asking questions that matter, and give you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views are shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM, and we are here to unpack what others are saying, sparking meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space, this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8, and so you're just joining us from the Ondangwa studio, and we come into you live from the mighty region of Oshana region. So, and as usual, we start with our first segment. We go back to see what happened, on this day in Africa. So let me welcome my African audience. So welcome to On This Day in Africa, and it's a pleasure to be with you as we look back at some of the powerful moments that shape this continent. So our first story today takes us to the heart of East Africa, to the beautiful nation of Burundi. You see, on this day, February the 5th, Burundi celebrate National Unity Day. It is a national holiday, a very important one. This day is all about remembering the country's journey to heal and bring its people together. So after many, many, many years of conflict, the 1990s saw the adoption of a new constitution, the one built on the idea of national unity. So today, the Burundians mark that promise of peace and unity between its main ethnic groups, the Hutu and the Tutsis. So it is a day of hope and of course, a reflection. So let me wish a friend of mine who is a Burundian happy National Unity Day to you, my friend. So, yeah, it's a holiday, national holiday in Burundi. And now let's jump to another year and travel to the southern tip of the continent, to South Africa. It was on this day, on this very day, February the 5th, back in 1999, that the world had a significant address. The one and only President Nelson Mandela stood before the parliament to deliver his last major speech as a president. So it was a truly historic moment, signaling the end of an era. Just a few months later, the beloved Madiba would retire from the presidency, leaving behind a legacy of freedom and reconciliation that continued to inspire all of us. All right. two different stories, but both reminding us of ongoing journey towards unity and leadership on this great continent. So that's all for this segment on this day in Africa. Join us again as we continue to unpack the moments that made us on this great continent. So welcome. When we come back from this quick commercial, we look at what is our thought for the day today. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So welcome back. Welcome back. And this is the eye. This is Eagle FM. Welcome to your number one talk radio station in the land. All right. So, and it's a beautiful, beautiful. It's quite a beautiful weather this yesterday and today. It has been really, really raining on this side. We have been blessed. Hopefully, you know, you also are receiving some showers wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. Yeah, no, it has been raining, and yeah, you know that we're not in Windigo either. You know that what is that? You know, so as much as you appreciate the, you know, the rain, you know, that that get to me sometimes, all right? So what is the thought for the day today, all right? You do not bite the back on the person carrying you. You do not bite the back of the person carrying you. So you do not bite the back of the person carrying you. So the proverb means that, the proverb means you should not harm, insult, or return, or turn against someone who is supporting you or helping you. So it reflects a common idea in many African cultures about gratitude, mutual respect, and social harmony. So essentially teaching that it is unwise or ungrateful to hurt those who are doing you a favor or carrying you forward in life. So, and in other words, you should value and respect those who support you, because attacking or disrespecting them undermines your own well-being and the relationship that benefits you. So, and definitely this proverb, it's relevant, because as we have many people who hear that hurting the people who actually hurting their grandmother, they are hurting their mothers, hurting their fathers, hurting their brothers, you know. So, yeah, you don't bite the back of the person carrying you. So that's our thought for the day today. And hopefully in the decision, in the decision you're making and choices that you're making today, you understand you're caring, you know, you make sure that you are, you make wise and grateful kind of decision, and that would actually benefit your own well-being and the relationship that benefits you. So that's our thought for the day. You do not bite the back of the person carrying you. All right. So welcome. If you just joining us at this point in time, and 8:10, is the time, and I will be with you until 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over to Tate, Tate France, coming to you with with Kuthamosha around 10 o'clock. So make sure that you stay tuned for that show as well. So what do we have today? Well, a new Gallup report reveals that, and it's very interesting, you know, it reveals that a story of Africa's economic recovery, and the story of Africa's economic recovery is one of the two contrasting realities. And one told by promising government data, so the government actually tells a different story, and another lived by people whose primary concern remain basic survival. So there's a government story based on the data, and then the lived experience of the people that are trying to survive. So that's what we're going to look at. It's a story in the Africa, the Africa report, looking at the new Gallup report. So we're going to look at that. It's very interesting. And I will also, I'm also going to bring you the facts that we're going to do the what fact checked for Namibia, and looking at when we're talking about economic growth, and looking at the reality of lived experience of the people in Namibia. So we're going to look at that as well, just to give you the picture of what this story, what this analysis is all about. So something to, you know, to really look forward and unpack that with me. It's very, I think it's very interesting. And there's another story that, and always, it was also something we covered in the Villager. I think of Monday or something. I couldn't get a time actually, but I found it very interesting to look at it. It's the cost of connecting remote rural household to the national grid, that ranging from, you know, 300,000. It's a very interesting one. So, and let's sneak it in today and see if we can, you know, unpick that one as well, because it's quite relevant and very important to us. So, as you can see, we are fully packed, and you are on board. Your participation will also definitely be part of the show. Make sure that you are unpacking this with me. So, welcome, and we'll be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
A very good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right, we had someone, maybe it was an emergency, so that's why we tried to, you know, to answer that one. So very good morning to you. Yeah, welcome. Good morning, Namibia. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So as I said earlier on, a new Gallup report says Africa economies are recovering. Government across sub-Saharan Africa, for example, including here in our region, are celebrating. You know, they are telling us the economy is recovering, growth is back, inflation is coming down, and debt pressure are stabilizing. So this is coming after, you know, after COVID, after COVID-19. So now we start to see some growth, and that exciting, and that excite government, and that excite, you know, politicians when they talk about this growth. Now, on paper, the regions look like it's finally breathing, you know, after years of economic storms. And the international investors are, well, they're also nodding, you know, approvingly saying, yes, everything they say is stabilizing, all right? Which is actually a good thing, yeah. Now, the problem is the people. Now, you and I, so this is a story we were talking about yesterday. The people are saying something completely different. So what are the people saying? The Gallup finds that across sub-Saharan Africa, none of that, the growth that the government are celebrating, none of that matches what ordinary people are actually experiencing. Not in Nigeria, not in South Africa, not in Angola, and I would wager not here in Namibia either. You know? So, when researchers ask citizens across the sub-Saharan Africa what their country's biggest problem was, economic hardship topped everything else. So, not corruption, okay? Not corruption, though that is real, so especially in most of our country. Not security, yeah? Although that also matter. Not even bad governments, eh? Not even bad governance. People said, we cannot afford to live. We cannot afford to live. Food costs too much. Rent is crushing us. Transport eats our age. I mean, not eat our age. Transport eat up our wages. You know, you spend so much in your transport, you know, and we are drowning in basic survival. So that's the contrast. And that's the contrast, the contradiction we are unpacking today. So why does the data say we are recovering? The data, of course, say that we are recovering. So that's a fact. Okay? So the data say we are recovering, while the household across the continent say life is getting harder. So that's what we are unpacking this morning. That's the two Africa that we're looking at. Oh, the Africa, or one, the one in report, the Africa, the one in report, and the one in real life. Okay? So if you're following the discussion that I had with Dr. Matuntu yesterday, basically we were looking at some of the issues that this report it's about. So we said there's so much, we see growth, there's so many things that we're talking about, you know, but do we see tangible reality? Do we touch it? Do we feel it? Yeah? Do we smell it? So now that this report is looking at, as I said, two Africas. The one in report, which actually talking about economic growth, and the one in real life of what actually people experience. So the Gallup researcher make one point very, very, very clear. So GDP growth, the thing government love to brag about. You know, this is one thing that the government love to brag about. Tell you almost nothing about how people actually doing it. It doesn't tell you how people are actually doing. Your GDP growth, it doesn't. So GDP can grow even job remains scarce. You still have actually, the GDP can grow even when there is a scarce of job. Even when wages doesn't, you know, it doesn't increase, it doesn't rise. So GDP can grow even if food and transport prices stay higher. Okay? GDP can grow even if households continue living mouth to mouth. Is that familiar? Does that sound familiar, my dear people? Does that sound familiar? So GDP growth, that magic number government love to parade, you know, means almost nothing to people. I mean, to the person trying to figure out if they can buy cooking oil this week. It means nothing. And one analyst put it plainly, you know, put it exactly plainly. GDP measures all economic activities, but it say nothing about how wealth, for example, it say nothing about how wealth is distributed, how secure your job is, or where your household can actually survive, whether your household can survive this month. So it can measure all economic, you know, activities, but it say absolute nothing on the life of the people. You know, it doesn't say, it can tell the growth, you know, but it doesn't tell how that wealth is distributed. It doesn't tell whether next month you will still have a job. Whether you can actually survive this month, it doesn't tell that. I think that's what this finding it's actually focusing on. So we have heard, even in here, we have heard our leaders speak confidently about stabilization, about growth, you know, the growth circles, about improving rates, but talk to an average. Now, that also true. You know, it's also a fact. But talk to an average family in Katutura, in Ongwediva, in Rundu, in Ludres. Many will tell you that their struggle is not getting better. Their struggling is not getting better. So when you hear the government announce that the economy grew by 3 or by 4%, does that growth show, you know, no, the question is, when now, let's say for example, and this is, I mean, we had this in this report from the Bank of Namibia all the time. So we grow by 3 or by 4%. Now, does that growth show up in your bank account? When you hear about that growth now, does it show up in your bank account? Does it lower the price of bread? Does it mean your children's school fees become easier to manage? And I can tell you, most Namibians will tell you, I mean, will say, definitely not. Now, here's the big question. Okay? Here's the question. If, and this is, I want you to think, really, you know, this is the whole idea for us to think. Now, if the economy is recovering, why doesn't it feel like recovering in our pocket? So why doesn't it feel it's recovering in our pocket? So this is what the report actually calls the gap between official performance, you know, and lived reality. And it's actually getting wider and wider and wider. So it looks as if that the growth that is being reported, the official performance, the growth that is being reported, it doesn't touch the ground. So the report calls the gap between official performance and the reality that is being experienced on the ground. Now, why does this gap exist? Maybe that's a question that we can look at. And the article analysis in the Africa's report point out that much of Africa's growth is driven what? It's driven by big infrastructure projects funded from outside. So the reasons why there is a gap is that because much of the Africa's growth, the growth that we see, is actually driven by infrastructure, by big infrastructure, like maybe mining, you know, by big infrastructure project funded from outside. So the other thing is also it's concentrated in mining. In mining, in finance, in capital, and in capital intensive sectors. Not labor intensive, but capital intensive sector. So now these are sectors that don't create jobs at a large scale. Excuse me. And the money, definitely the money in this sector stays at the top. It doesn't get to the ground. So, and you know, the growth now look great on a spreadsheet, but it does little for the average household. It does little for the average household. So Namibia sees this too. We see this too as well. Eh? The mining can be booming, you know. But we still have unemployment. The unemployment still remain higher. Mining can be booming. And in some cases, we investment can be, you know, we have a lot of investment flowing in. Has the unemployment changed? So, but we still have a problem of job creation, but we have investment flowing in, you know? But we still have a problem of job creation. So we hear GDP growth, you know, but wage growth, it doesn't, there's no wage growth. So you have GDP growth, but your wage still remain the same. And one expert described it perfectly. The economy looks healthier in the data than it does on the ground. So it looks healthier on the data, but it does on the ground, on in real life, in how in people's life. Yeah, so the headlines, you know, numbers goes up while the household remain actually untouched. So this is what the report is looking at. And also when it comes to inflation, you know, government love to tell us inflation is coming down, you know, but ask anyone buying maize meal or cooking oil or bus ticket, you know, municipal bus ticket or electricity, do these things, do they feel cheap? Do things feel cheap? We'll come back and look at that as well.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added great new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome. Yeah, yes. Imba. Eyes. That's one app that you should have. You should have that one. I found myself, you know, sometime deep, and I have been attending, you know, a funeral over the weekend, and of course, and my Impa was there. My Impa, my app was there. There were like, you know, people singing from Ehangano. Singing also from Simaneka, singing also from Omaimbiro, it's another song, you know. And all this, I have all this in my Imba, you know. So make sure that you download that, you have that. It will come in handy, you know, it will definitely come in handy. Make sure that you download the IMBA app. Very, very, very important app to have. All right? So, yes, we're talking about, you know, the economic growth, the GDP growth. How is that not translate into a real tangible reality in most African country? So this is a report and a Gallup report that looking at a number of aspects that looking at the report, normally government, you know, pride about, you know, in terms of economic growth, but, you know, people are still relinquishing in poverty, in unemployment, you know. But, you know, here you hear there's this growth, there's growth, but that growth is not translated in real, in actual improvement of people's life. So this is what the report is all about. And we're looking at different aspects. So in that, like inflation, you know, inflation may be slowing. We can see that. But, you know, the inflation may be slowing, may be slowed down, but not where, you know. But and government love to tell us inflation is coming down. And when I'm talking this, I'm not only talking about our government, but I'm talking about, you know, government in general, and especially in Africa. So, but as I said, ask anyone buying, you know, buying maize meal or cooking oil, or your tax fare money. So those things are not cheap. They don't become cheap now because the inflation actually has slowed down. So they don't become cheap. So food cost, transport cost, electricity cost, they are still higher compared to what people actually earn. Even with the inflation actually slowing down, when your expenses rise faster than your income, you don't care about if GDP, you know, it goes up a few percentage or something. So you care that you're actually falling behind. Yeah? So when the GDP goes up, your expenses still the same. Yeah? And your expenses rise faster than actually your income. Yeah? So now, if your salary rises 3%, for example, but your basic basket goes up 10%, you're not winning. You're not winning. No matter what the statistic says, you are not winning. So, yeah. So that's what you're looking at. So again, now, are our leaders measuring the economy the way ordinary people live? Do we measure our economy, the growth of our economy, in terms of how ordinary people live it, in terms of how you live it, or the way investors actually want to see it? These are really, you know, fundamental questions. How do we measure our economic growth? Is it the way ordinary people live it? We see all this growth and all this, you know, I mean, and some people can tell us, and as I said, you know, they can go, we are doing very well, but they're doing very well based on this data and report, which is true, which is actually a fact. But the question is, the way ordinary people lived it, the way we live that growth. Yeah. So when now we measure that economic growth, is it the way ordinary people lived it or the way investors want to see it? So that's a question. So then, according to the analyst, okay, here is the political changer, okay? The political changer, this is where I want you to pay close attention, because when government keeps saying things are improving, but daily life gets, you know, it gets tougher, that creates frustration. It creates a credibility crisis where people now start not believing you. People feel unheard, or people feel spoken over. They're kind of like, you know, you're speaking over us. We see the reality. The reality is totally different. So they feel dismissed. So, and this is where now political risk grows. You know, this is where now the political risk grows. And according to the report, I mean, according to the analyst in that, on that report, South Africa is given as an example of a country where macro improvement haven't reached household. That macro improvement, you know, this economic growth hasn't reached households. So, for example, South Africa is a modest economic growth, better physical metrics, but it remains one of the most unequal society. Eh? Just like in Namibia. So we're talking about those growth, economic growth, but we still remain one of the most unequal society in the world. Unemployment is still going up. Electricity is unreliable and expensive. Food prices keeping climbing, you know, they keep climbing. So, what do you get? What do you get? This is where now you get actually people protesting. Recently, kind of, look at the news anytime. We have people on strikes, you know. Why are people on strike? We have people on strike. Almost every month, we have some people, employees from this company on strike, you know. So, and this leads to a volatile elections, you know, where people now think, that's what I said, this is where now politic risk grows. So this is a volatile elections, the election become volatile, there's an anger, you know. So you understand. So now, and if you look, the other example was given is Nigeria. Nigeria dealing with crushing, you know, inflation, sees the same anger, you know, rising. People see their currency losing value, fuel subsidies disappearing, you know, and prices explode. Now the government say, hey, trust us. This is your future. Yeah. But people can't eat the future. People can't eat the future. They need to relief today. Yeah? Today. And here's a critical question to you, for you Namibian, for us Namibian. Do we see the same pattern here? So do we see the same pattern? Are our leaders celebrating stats? So they're celebrating the stat that they celebrate. Does that stat actually match your reality? The stat that we normally celebrate when it comes to economic growth and whatever, you know, does that match your reality, Namibian? When they talk about economic success, does it sound like they are speaking to the bankers in maybe in Geneva? Or to you? To you, you who is actually trying to pay rent in Kadutura. Do they speak, when they talk about economic success, does it speak to you? It's more like they're actually talking to the banker in Geneva, you know, to IMF, or rather than actually to you trying to pay rent in Kadutura, or in any way. So Kadutura is the most common township, so yeah. It's come quicker on the tongue. Yeah. So, and another layer to this, according to this report, it's population growth. Population growth. Africa population is actually growing faster. In some countries, faster than the economy. You understand? There's also in Angola, for example. Angola's population grows at 3.3%. 3.3% Angola's population growth, while the economy grows at 2.5%. You see what happened? So the population is actually growing faster than the economy. So now you have more mouths to feed. Eh? You have more mouths to feed with actually few resources per person. So even, you know, even if you have a modest growth, economic growth, it gets swallowed up. It gets swallowed up because you have more mouth feed to feed. You have more, you know, even if, okay, it's like this. You're working, but you have about, let's say, for example, at this one, your salary is about 5,000, okay? And you have about how many people? You have five people to feed at home. All right, and then so then people actually, the people, you know, new people growth, there's a new birth, newborn, you know. Now you are, maybe three of them give birth, now you're about eight or something like that. But you still have 5,000. So now your 5,000 actually feed eight people. Okay? Or even if they give you 5.5. Now because the economic growth is very slow, you know, they add a little bit of, you know, 5,000, okay, because there's a growth, then they add another 500, but the people are more, the population growth is faster than the economy. So that wouldn't help. So you understand, those are some of the issues, and that means, you know, more people sharing the same pie. You have more people sharing the same pie. Or, in some cases, actually a shrinking pie. So the pie is actually shrinking. So, and Namibia population is growing too. We are also growing, especially among the young people. You know, that's the thing. The young people, we have a growing young population, yet job creation is not keeping up the pace. We have young people, growth of young people, but job creation is not actually keeping up with the population of young, with the growth of young people. It's exactly the same thing. It's growth. If growth, it doesn't expand opportunity. Now, if the economic growth, it doesn't expand opportunity, well, you will have definitely a dissatisfaction growth. You will have people that feel dissatisfied. So that's why we have qualified teacher actually getting into the street. Yeah? So that's why we can talk about Madagascar, where, you know, the youth actually then started that, that demonstration. So if economic growth, it doesn't expand opportunities, well, dissatisfaction also grows. And here's the part that should worry all of us about democracy itself. So the report notes that dissatisfaction with democracy across Africa is rising. So the people are starting to be, you know, to become dissatisfied with democracy across Africa. They said it is actually rising. Why is it rising? Because people are starting to judge democracy not by its ideals, not by the ideals of democracy, but by its results. So by its results. If democracy doesn't deliver economic dignity, if it doesn't give people sovereignty over their own lives, then what is the point? So what is the point? And this is something that we should be really, if you are a politician, you know, think. People are starting to judge democracy, not by ideal, as I said, but by result. So in other words, if democracy, it doesn't deliver dignity, jobs, economic security, people lose faith. People lose faith. And this is not, this is a warning, not just for Africa. Yeah? This is a warning not just for Africa, but for Namibia's own political future. So government needs to measure what actually matter to people. I think the government need to measure, the economic growth has to be a measure of what actually matters to people, not just what look good in an investor presentation, because that's what most of our focus is on when it comes to, you know, economic growth report. They need to understand the credibility is earned at the household level. At the household level, at the kitchen table, yeah? Not in the finance ministry's quarterly report. So now over to you. Before I look at the fact check, it's you can come through as well. So now over to you, my listeners. Do you feel any recovery in your household when we're talking about the economic growth? The growth is recovering. Economic growth is recovering. So, do you feel any recovery in your household, or is just something you're hearing in report in a ministry quarterly report? Look at any you hear this. This are facts. Those report are facts. Do economic announcements that you often hear reflect your lived reality? Let's talk. Where are you? Do they reflect your lived reality? Those economic announcements that you always hear. Look at any economic publications. Look into. No, you can just read the villages, you know. So there are some, you know, economic, this is where you can actually can go and read. So there's a lot of report about, you know, growth, whether it's an institution or it's the country at large, you know. Do economic announcement reflect your lived reality? So what should leaders focus on if they really want people to feel the progress? So we're looking at these topics because we are at the beginning of the year, and we want you now to be part of the process. So be part of the process, be part of the of by understanding issues. So are we building an economy for people or for reports? For reports or rating or investors, who are we building the economy for? Because the people that you're building the economy for, is it doesn't touch them on the ground. So let's unpack this together right here on Unpacking the Day. Our telephone number is 08. The line is working today. Thanks for having it sorted out. So the line is working today. Our line in the studio is working. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So do come through and have your opinion. So do you feel the recovery in your household? Do you feel that, you know, the economic growth, that is the announcement, the economic announcement that you hear or you read all the time, do you feel any recovery in your household? Do economic announcement reflect your lived reality? Okay? What should we focus on? What should our leader focus on if they really want people to feel the progress? So those are some of the things. Those are some of the thought I want to. Those are some of the things that I want you to think about as you come through. Our telephone number 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. And when we come back, so we're going now to fact check. Namibia's economic reality and the data behind the recovery claims that we normally make. So make sure that you stick around. 08333 66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back and a very good morning to you. So what I'm going to do now, so I'm going to walk you through what the actual number tell us about our economic situation, all right? So I've gone through this a little bit, you know, go deeper a little bit and just find out some, you know, information and look at where we are. You know, this is a critical information that every Namibian, I think, in my opinion, humble opinion, need really to understand. So we need to understand. So the reasons we do this here, for example, is because we don't go back, that we don't have this where, you know, most of the report that you hear, they can only tell you what is being, what is that, you know, either what is being planned, like, okay, this is what is being planned, but never tell you what we did so far. So what was our target? So where we are in terms of any, let's say, for example, unemployment. This is when we started, like what we were saying yesterday, when we started, you know, unemployment has been this much, but now we did A, B, C, D, and that has actually improved now. We have now employed so much people in this sector, so much people in that sector, and in this sector. And, you know, we can see that there's now a decline in unemployment rate. You understand? So that those kind of information you will never get because, you know, it exposes, you know, the incompetence. It exposes that there isn't really anything, there isn't much that has been done. That's why you wouldn't have that information available spoken to you. So the unemployment, the shocking truth about unemployment, okay? And here's your first bombshell, okay? Our official unemployment rate, we know now, stand at what? It stand at 36.9%. As of 2023, now according to the Namibian Statistic Agency. Now that's right. So more than one in three Namibian who want to work cannot find a job. That's what that statistic tell you, that more than one in three who want to get a job, who want to work, cannot find a job. And it's getting worse, not better. So as we see now, when we're talking about now, this is now, I'm looking at this now, looking at the economic growth that we, the GDP that we're talking about, the GDP growth that we're talking about. you know, that now looking at that, yes, we have the GDP growth. I'm trying to provide now facts to the story that we have earlier on, okay? So, and I said, with that, it's getting worse, it's not getting better. It's for now, we don't see that improving. Well, you can hide your head. I mean, you can put your sand, you can put your head in the sand all you want. You can, you know, sugarcoat that all you want, but that's the reality, that's a fact. So remember, and this represents a jump of 3.5 percent point from 33.4% in 2018. 33.4% in 2018. So about 3.5 percent point from when unemployment, from 2018, it hasn't gone down, it actually went up with 3.5 percent. So now, this is now, while our government talks about recovery, unemployment is climbing higher. So shouldn't be, you know. So when you recover, should now, economy, when you have now your growth, shouldn't things also become improving? I just want now to say what the article was talking about, what the report is really talking about, just to emphasize, just to let you understand what the report is about, that we talk about the recovery, economic recovery, talk about economic growth, but there are issues that we see going there. You know, this is now the reality of how, this is now a lived reality of the people. We're talking about recovery, but the lived reality of people is different. We're talking about unemployment rate stand at 36.9. So in 2018, it was at 33.4. So, as the government talk about recovery, unemployment is actually climbing higher. That's the contradiction that report is talking about. So, now, let's talk about this so-called economic growth, okay? According to the Bank of Namibia. Now, we are back now. We look at Namibia now. So according to the Bank of Namibia's own December 2025 economic outlook, which I reviewed in details, I look at that in detail. Well, I'm not an economic person, but there are a few things I can be able to tell. Now, here's what's actually happening. All right? Here's what is actually happening. Now, the economy grew by 3.7% in 2024. Okay? The economy grew by 3.7% in 2024. That sounds decent, okay, for us, for the country. But just hold on. Growth is now projected to slow down to 3.0% in 2025. It grew by 3.7, but now is actually projected to slow down to 3.0% in 2025 before picking up again slightly to 3.9% in this year, in 2026. Now, here's what the Bank of Namibia admit in their own report. Manufacturing output is expected to decline by 4.6% in 2025. You understand? So there's a growth, but there is, you know, decline in manufacturing. So primary industries, which include now farming, are contracting by 0.1%. So diamond mining, one of the key sectors, is weakening. So where is this growth actually coming from? Where is it coming from? Mainly coming from mining. It's coming from mining, especially the exceptional performance in 2024 that's now normalizing. All right, let's get to the caller. A very good morning to you.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm all right, my brother.
Economy,
we are talking about economy recovery.
Yeah, there's a Gallup report that's looking at the these two contradicting kind of a situation where mostly government, they report this growth, inflation is slowing down and all this. They prayed about those, but the lived reality of people is totally different. Something that we were talking about yesterday as well. So, and we're looking here, we're just looking at also Namibia to say, we're talking about economic growth, but unemployment is actually going up, you know? So we're talking about growth and we have decline in manufacturing. We have, we have contracting of primary industry like farming or by 0.1%. So diamond mining or all these sectors are weakening. So,
You see, Ned, the thing is that the problem which we have in Namibia is that we are not willing to add additional value when it comes to our primary resource.
Yeah.
We are all sitting out the way it is with a law firm. And this is a problem. Every country is having a plan to do something for their own natural resource. But in Namibia, it's the other way around. You can even talk about just imagine even our cattle. We sell wine to South Africa.
Yeah.
Just imagine. Instead of us to do that, maybe we create even a additional, where we have to slaughter it here, and then we... Like even now, I heard even the meat for that, even the beef, no longer there. They don't produce beef anymore. Just imagine. Now, everything goes to South Africa. Then it become, when it comes back, the package.
Yeah.
And now you wonder your economy to grow. How? If you are not adding anything. It's the same with the fish.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about even simple thing what you can do. This is a simple thing. Just even to clean the fish. We cannot do that. They have to be saved in the sea, in the ship, and then they go to Spain, the way it is. Create employment on that side of the Spain, do whatever they do with it, sell it to other countries like European, then even sometimes also they end up in our market.
Yeah.
Really? It's a hard time. Then you are talking about even how many years. That's why there's something going on in the... in the social media, Namibia and Nigeria, what I don't know what you're about, but the commenting, some of even people are talking about the Nigerian or Cameroon commenting about Namibia.
Yeah.
You can tell people are talking. People are seeing what is going on. It's because the population is very small.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at our resources which we are having in Namibia. In the end of the field. Huh? Seriously, you wonder. Even everybody is surprised because a lot of people, they don't know Namibia before until our later president, rest in peace.
Yeah.
He put Namibia in the map for advertising that what is available in Namibia, how we really, what kind of resource is available. Yeah, even our own Namibia, some of them, they don't know even what we have.
Yeah.
Mm. Mostly when it comes to mine, they never know. I'm telling you, how many people they know even that lithium being mined in Namibia. Not at all. They are all talking about copper, uranium, and diamonds, and gold.
Even if we know, how would we know? Because it's not in our hands. It's not in our hands. So some other people just come and dig it up, and then we help them to dig.
We help them to dig.
We help them to dig, and then they come from.
And now you are here telling people, no, we have a crisis of wine, but you are not doing anything. You are sitting there which you're supposed to do something.
Yeah.
And you are pressing that the economy is recovering from the end of war.
Yeah. So those data, uranium, lithium, gold, when you produce more of those, well, they are in the record in your country, but they are not in your country. And that's the growth that we're talking about, you know.
It's not even yours we are talking about. We are only having 3% in uranium.
Yeah.
But you are the second. Is this not enough traumatizing you, that you are the first country in the whole world producing uranium. Yeah? But your people are living in Kambashu. They don't have electricity. They don't have clean water. Talk about sanitation is out of the roof. Come on, guys. You sometimes you talk about even the network coverage. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Then we are here praising and we are recovering. Recovering from where? Huh? Who's recovering?
Mm.
Not those ones who are having already, they are ending our resource. You are saying the government, growth. There's no growth. Because otherwise, if there's a growth, we can touch it. We can build more school instead of the 1,000 kids to be left to go to school. You see? This I think, and I think our leaders sometimes.
And even if they found school, there will be now 40 or 50 or 60 in a class.
In one class. In one class.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You can say, well, they found school. We will find school for them, but it's not like they are in a in a conducive environment of learning.
Environment at all. And they are telling us we recover, but you are just get borrowed money recently.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. If the economy is recovering, the price is going down. With what we are, come on. This all we heard a lot of this nonsense. Then a lot of us we are just tired. Because we're just talking about it, there's nothing we can touch.
Hmm.
Economy, what does it contribute to a person who's living in a Kanja Park or Goria Habdam or Havana?
Yeah.
When you're talking about economic growth. Wait, anybody can say that, okay, maybe now we can say that, yes, now, Nampa is even will come up with a project now where they take a lot of youth out of the street.
Hmm.
Or Nampa is creating something where we can say this. Yes, they are doing something. Maybe at least we can see that we are growing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That actually now we see that, you know, NamPower is coming up with a new, they generate a new a new power, and now the energy cost actually go down.
Or something.
we have now the, what is that? We have now the green scheme. The green schemes have started now. They are producing. Now we see now the price of potato goes down, the price of mahangu goes.
Everybody can be able to afford it.
Yeah, now can be able to. So, you don't see the growth. You know, you don't see the output of the input you're putting in. You know.
Not at all. That's all I'm saying. Some of women like this coming March Independence. I don't think we need even to spend money to celebrate it. Maybe we can come up with something like a cleaning. The whole day, because people are not going to work. Yeah. Either cleaning or we have a fun activity where people can just even have fun to work or what something. But celebrating, what are you celebrating for?
I always said that each region actually should celebrate their own independence. In their own style. And the president can go wherever he wants. So you don't have now ministers following where the president
Broking
is going.
All over them, then now you know, spend a lot of in.
It's billions and billions of money, you know, spent in accommodation. And
now we are talking about even people, are just, they go there, they get breaching, and they discard coke. Come on, guys. And we heard the catering was paid, like what? 4.something million. But the people who are even inviting, they are the people who are having kids without school. And the time and the years are going.
And can you imagine? I mean, the whole thing, I mean, definitely looking at those things, there are certain things that we don't really take seriously. And because it's a habit that we used to, we kind of led by. But the people are suffering, you know?
Now it's become business as usual.
Yeah, it's a business as usual. Maybe the president said that let's make this business unusual. Because now you spend you spend millions and millions of ministers and government officials going to Katima.
To make it sort of like a fun is that when you see a politician telling you business as usual, it means business as usual. When how many times have we heard that, you know, we are going to do this? Once a politician saying even, okay, you ask a good question, remember, not going to answer you. This, what did they do? And then we know exactly. The president didn't mean it. Because when you are talking about now, even starting researching for appointing a new person, but it comes as a director to control the money. I'm wondering now, what about the minister which is just recently appointed?
Yeah.
What is wrong with that? To control the mind. If everybody is having a portfolio, you are able to control your what? Your ministry.
Yeah.
Why should we need another person to be appointed to control mind? Something is not really working out. We say no, we are copying the style of what? Dubai and Okata and whatever. But remember one thing, that those people, before they are even having a power, who's having a power? It's a king.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we are, even our tradition, we don't even consult them when it comes to something with about the nation. Well, that is following them, and it's what we are doing, mostly. But I'm telling you, things are not okay, man, in Namibia. My friend, yeah. If you go and check those social media, what the guys are commending, you can tell, no.
So, Amen, you just don't need to go to social media. Your neighbors, there are people who go, really, then that's not, that's a fact. There are people who go hungry. They're home exactly. That they sometimes have nothing to eat at home.
I'm telling my brother.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Just imagine even now, in the news, if you look at the Namibian today, there's a guy who hanged himself after stabbing his wife, sister. About $40. Just imagine.
Yeah.
And then now you want to tell me what? That's poverty.
No.
It's poverty already. Just imagine the people are fighting for $40. A neighbor, they work for a neighbor, and then now that money is supposed to share. They was paid $40. And now there's become an argument. You see? Somebody have to lose a life. Then now you are here saying the economy recovery. Where? Where that person is fit? Who lost his life now? Because of the $40. No, man. No.
All right, man.
Yeah, let us give other people a chance, man.
No, thanks for coming through.
Sure.
Very good morning to you. So our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of 9. And we talk about Gallup report that's talking about the normal report of economic recovery and growth, which doesn't translate into life lived by the people. So, and it's a very good report one can look at. If you want to go in detail, go to the Africa report. So you will find an article that also analyzing, go deeper into this. So, yeah. So we talk about that. So where is this growth actually coming from, especially in Namibia for us? Mainly it's from the mining. It's coming from Namibia, especially the exceptional performance in 2024. That's now normalizing. So and then the critical point, there was also a critical point mentioned by an analyst, Namibian analyst Tana Groeneveld, who said GDP, excluding mining, if you're excluding mining and quarrying, remain actually below pre-COVID level until 2024. So that means if you're excluding that, your growth, you know, remain below a pre-COVID level, you know. So what does this mean now? When we talk about what does this mean? So it means that growth is very narrow. When we're talking about that, the growth come from, especially coming from the mining. So it means that the growth is narrow. So the growth is narrow, concentrated, and not creating job for ordinary Namibians. So the sector that employs most people, like construction, tourism, retail, they are being struggling. So they have been struggling. There's no growth in there. So they're contracting. So that's one of issue. That's a reality for Namibia as well. When it comes to inflation as well, Okay? Let me give credit where it's due. Okay? When it comes to me, let me give credit where it's due. Inflation have indeed come down. Okay? It has come down. The latest figures show inflation at 3.2% in December 2025, down from 3.4% in November. You know, for 2024, inflation, annual inflation average 4.24% for 2024. So, and this is significantly better, of course, it's significantly better than 5.88% we saw in 2023. So, now, food inflation especially ended 2025 at 2.6%. The food inflation, it's ended 2025 at 2.6%, the lowest since early 2020. So, now, so the government is technically, okay, and I'm using the word technically, the government is technically correct when they say inflation is easing, yes. But here's what they are not telling you. Even though the rate of prices increases has slowed, prices are still actually higher and wages haven't caught up. You know, how long have you been? How long since when actually you get an increment? Since when? So even if the price, you know, the inflation, you know, has eased a little bit, you know, or the price increases has actually slowed down a bit. So prices actually are still higher for you. They're still higher because your salary hasn't changed. Your salary hasn't caught up. So I remember someone was saying, he went into the shop and he said, this is too expensive. And the owner of the shop said, no, it's not too expensive. It's just that, you know, your salary just can't afford it, you know. So it's just that, you know, you haven't your salary just can't afford it. You understand? So that means as the time goes, even if the inflation actually is easing, you can't catch up, eh? So because your wage haven't caught up with the price. And the recent cost of cost of living analysis done, which actually ranked Namibia as the second most expensive country in Southern Africa for everyday living. You know, that Namibia was actually the second most expensive country in Southern Africa for everyday living. Think about that now. So we're talking about that your wages haven't actually caught up with the inflation slowing down because your salary hasn't been increasing. So, and on top of that, you are now in the country that is actually most expensive country in Southern Africa, you know. So we are more expensive than Botswana, and South Africa is much more expensive and not far behind South Africa. So those are the facts now. Looking at what we're looking at now, GDP growth. Yeah? So, and here's another fact. According to the 2018 labor force survey, okay, according to 2018 labor force survey, 70% of employed Namibians earn less than 1,400 per month. 70% of employed Namibian earn, that's according to 2018. And remember, there has been, since then, there hasn't been any increase in employment. So earn less than 1.4 per month, 1,400 per month. So now think of that. Even if food inflation is actually only 2.6% now, low now at now if it's only 2.6% now, that is actually the inflation has gone down. When you are earning actually 1.4 a month in one of the most expensive countries in the region, any prices increases crushes you, my friend. So any prices increases crushes you. So, and the crisis that they don't want to talk about. There's also a crisis that they don't want to talk about. We get to the most daunting statistic of all. The most daunting statistic of all. The recent report by the Economic Commission for Africa and the National Planning Commission revealed that poverty in Namibia has more than doubled between 2017 to 2023. Where are we, Namibia? Where are we? It has doubled. We haven't improved. Poverty, according to a recent report by the Economic Commission for Africa and the National Planning Commission, revealed that poverty in Namibia has more than doubled between 2017 to 2023. So now, let me give you the number. The number of Namibians living in poverty jumped from 410,518 people in 2017 Sorry for that. So the numbers, that's why I said I love the numbers, even if I wasn't good at math. So because they tell a story, when you look at the numbers always tells a story. Okay? And you must learn to do that. So now, in 2017, I said the Namibian living in poverty were 410,518 people in 2017. And that jumped to 852,317 people in 2023. It doubled. As a percentage of our population, so when you're now looking compared to it, when you as a percentage of our population, poverty increased from 19.7% in 2017 to 28.2% in 2023. Where is that we're doing well? We're talking about issues that matter, that affect people. Yeah? Not statistics of GDP growth. And those information, let's that sink in. Let that sink in. While the government celebrates GDP growth, the number of poor Namibians has doubled. Doubled. Why are you celebrating the GDP growth? So, and here is something particularly, I would say, cruel, if you like. Almost a quarter of employed Namibians. Listen here, these are your information. So almost a quarter of employed Namibians, a quarter of employed Namibians are living in poverty. So these are people who work every day and still cannot escape poverty. So the International Labour Organization calls them the working poor. So the working poor. And in Namibia, we have hundreds of thousands of them. You know, many of you, many of us are included in that. Working poor. So the ILO really called them the working poor. And as I said, in Namibia, we have hundreds of thousands of them. Probably you are also part of that. Maybe I am part of it. And women and children, they bear the heaviest burden. They bear the heaviest burden always. So, and if we look at the urban poverty has exploded. Urban poverty has exploded, partly because of young people who are actually migrating to the city, cities like Windhoek, looking for jobs that don't exist. You know, they come to Windhoek looking for jobs which don't exist. So the number of shacks. So we're talking about now economic growth, and I'm giving you statistics that prove otherwise. The number of shacks across Namibia has tripled since 2011 to about 220,000 households. Shacks across Namibia has tripped. Now we're talking now since 2011 to now, it has tripled. It's about 220,000 households that are living in shacks. And informal housing now covers 40% of the country. Are you listening? Informal housing now covers 40% of the country. 40% of the country informal housing. So, well, at least we have, you know, when we talk in terms of poverty, at least we have about 618,000 Namibians survive on social grant. 618,000 Namibians survive on social grant. That's nearly one in five people. Nearly one in five people survive on social grant in Namibia. That's a reality of where we are. With actually economic recovery, with GDP growth. How do you reconcile? And yesterday, you know, I in some way, we were also looking at that with the discussion that I had with Dr. Omu, you know, and clearly, you know, he emphasized some of the issues that factors that actually contribute to this. Just imagine 618,000 Namibian survive on social grant. And if you put that in terms of person, it's one in five people. Like when you meet people, one, two, three, five, one out of those people actually survive, is surviving on social grants. That's how worse it is. And you have some people, no, we're doing better. We are better. Yes, those data don't translate into improving people's life. So we will back, when we come back, we also look at the World Bank verdict. What is the World Bank verdict when it comes to Namibia? So we're going to look at that. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a short while.
Imbaya riri onda nai epetaweza kwa ombu nikire ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye iriri ombupu o hatahane na wina ikare na masa kumurungu wa indu. Weli wongere kusha umune onde nguo kuura kwa imba. Una ovyo umedia peke kwa ondola mirongo vitati na hambu ume mumwesto. Kika ovinki nukukara noruta onda ndo ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu ume moshimariva. Owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeve mulongo na ivari moshimarifu. Itoarerera ondengu zima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyamu kife. Ashiesho imba te kute oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga nino uyebu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangifa jinyon.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. So welcome back. So we're looking at I went to dig down some check, fact checked about Namibia when it comes to talking about. We looked at a Gallup report that's looking at these two contradicting version of how we see economic growth. So the one that reported by government, the one in data, look like the countries are doing very well. So there is a recovery of economy, you know, economic recovery in some countries. But, and then the report look at, well, that's not reflected in a lived experience. And that's why now I want to dig up some of the information that, I just shared with you, you know, to say, look, we also, you know, in Namibia, we also report, you know, GDP growth, you know, inflation slowdown, all that. But has that translated into, you know, recovery in your pocket? Yeah? Have that actually translated into now job creation? Has that translated now in people being able to afford, you know, decent housing? Or, you know, as I give you those statistics, looking at, you know, 40% of our, you know, 40% of our country is covered in informal housing now. You understand? So, and even how does the world look at us? How does now the world look at it? Look at the World Bank verdict for us. Eh? And this is something that is very painful. Should be something more painful. It's a painful fact. In July, okay, in July this year, last year, why am I going back? 2025, the World Bank downgraded Namibia. We downgraded from an upper middle income economy to a lower middle income country. So we actually went back in our classification. We went back. So even from outside, that's quite clear that as much as we, you know, this slow growth of economic growth and that we're talking about and parade and whatever the case may be, it hasn't changed the life of people. It hasn't changed the life of people. So what is the verdict? Okay? So what is the verdict? Let me be crystal clear, you know, about what these numbers actually tell us. Okay, what are these numbers actually telling us? Well, the government is correct that GDP growth has returned and inflation has eased. Those are facts. Okay? Those are facts. That's not what we're talking about. Those are facts. Now, but this growth, as we have looked at, as we discuss, it's narrow, concentrated in mining, you know, and finance, you know. So it's not and that's it becomes it's not creating jobs. It's not labor intensive, you know. It's not creating job. It's not reaching ordinary household. And whoever, whether you are a lawmaker or whoever, this is now the problem. That's where we need to look. And that's why you have the president always to say legal framework. That, you know why the president talking so much about legal framework? It's because somehow, some way, we can't translate this growth, what we're talking about, okay, into tangible reality. Something need to give in. Something need to give in. I also don't know what it is, but something need to give in. And you can also see how the president is frustrated. So the people she have put together don't seem to find solution. They don't seem to find a solution to this problem. It's a frustration, and probably it's a frustration for some people as well, you know. So maybe it's a frustration. It's a frustration for many of Namibians. So we also see that unemployment is catastrophically higher at 33.9% using the broader, using the narrow measure. you know, the narrow definitions. So if you use the broader definition, definitely it's much, much higher than that. And it is rising. It's not falling. It's not actually decreasing. It's rising. Yeah? So as we have seen, poverty has doubled in 6 years, doubled, while the GDP grew. The GDP grew, but poverty has doubled in 6 years. So, and even employed Namibian are struggling. As we have seen, even those who are that are employed are actually struggling, because with 70% earning poverty wages below 1.4 per month, that's a poverty wage. It's working poor, as it's called by the ILO. Excuse me, by ILO, you know. That's poverty wages. So those are some of the things that we talked about. We have been downgraded by the World Bank, you know, to lower middle income status. It shows that there's no progress. And this is exactly the pattern that Gallup report describe. Government celebrating macro indicators while people cannot afford food, while people cannot afford shelter, housing. The number say yes. The people say no. So, now I'm going to ask you some questions. I want you to come through, all right? But I want you to think about this very, very, very seriously. It's a conscious raising. Yeah? We learn to, you know, to open your mind, you know, to think and also to question things. And here's the question that I want you to ask our leaders. All right? And if they are listening, here's the question. If the economy is recovering, why is unemployment rising instead of falling? Why? If the economy is recovering, if there is GDP growth, why is unemployment rising instead of falling? Well, if you got the answers, you know, well, you can come through. If you are a minister, please, you are hard to get. So, but if you can hear me, you can come through. The number is there: 0833-0833-66091. You know, 0833-66091. So come through. If you are a leader, if you are a governor, if you are a councillor, you know, if we're experiencing growth, why has poverty doubled? I just give you statistics. Why poverty has doubled if we're experiencing growth? That's a question you should be asking us as citizens as well. Okay, you come and tell us that the economy, there's economic growth, but why? Why we are more poor? And that's the president said, we are poor, and this is what the president actually talking about. We are too few to be poor. The poverty has doubled. I said, there are people who can put their head into sand as if this is not happening. Yeah? Instead of facing it, so they come up with so many excuses. And the president is quite blunt about that. We are too few to be poor. Why, if we're experiencing growth, why has poverty doubled? Now, if things are improving, why are more Namibians living in shacks? Why there are more Namibians living in shacks than ever before? If things are improving, I'm throwing this question to you. Okay. Any leaders that come, things are better, things are what? Okay. Are we talking now the pressing issues that actually people are going through? Why are there more shaks now than ever before? If the recovery is real, why did the World Bank downgrade us? If it's real, can we touch it? If we are touching it, we're smelling it, you know, why did the World Bank downgrade us? And maybe the most important question is, when will economic growth that you are talking about actually translate into jobs, higher wages? When will it be translated into higher wages and low cost of ordinary Namibian? And not just better numbers for investors, because sometimes these numbers are really good for the investors, but it doesn't help, it doesn't translate into actual, you know, reality of many ordinary Namibians. Because right now the story is clear, the spreadsheet look better. All right, the spreadsheet look better, the people are suffering more. And until those two reality align, okay, talking about recovery is talking past lived experience, almost, you know, every Namibia household, in every almost Namibia household. Well, this is the data. That's the truth, you know, and it's time we demand answers. It's time we demand answers. So, what is your take? 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091.
Imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongoti samweni. Anangashifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yue, yongeshifa yoyo kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe 22 imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onara heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February, 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right. A very good morning to you. And welcome. If you're just joining us, as I said earlier on, I'm a good teacher. I will still allow you in the class. So I'm not going to give you a spank a little bit. So welcome. Thanks for joining us. And it's always a pleasure, you know, for us to be in your company. And welcome to your number one talk radio station here, right here, Eagle FM. So we were talking about, it's a report, it's a Gallup report, looking at something that most African, maybe not only African, maybe governments, always pride themselves when it comes to economic growth. But it's also looking at then that much of that growth is not actually translated. The growth is not translated into tangible reality that people can see, people can touch, people can smell, people can, you know. So, yeah, that's what we have been looking at. And I went to look for some statistics to back up, to see if that is happening in Namibia, because we also have leaders that parade about, you know, about growth, economic growth and all that. So, and I look at some facts, you know, a fact check about Namibia to see where we are. We see that unemployment is still actually, you know, is still actually going up, is still rising, not falling, statistic-wise. So we talk about poverty. Poverty has doubled in 6 years. So, but the GDP grew. So the GDP actually is growing, but up so far for 6 years, the poverty has actually doubled. So we're talking about 70% of many Namibian, we're talking about Namibian really struggling, because 70% earning poverty wages, that is actually below 1.4. So those are some of the statistics, and also that we get downgraded to a lower middle income status. So yeah, and that's what the report was all about, looking at exactly those issues where the government normally celebrate that macro indicators, okay, while people cannot afford food, cannot afford accommodation, cannot afford, you know, transport. I mean, it's a whole question of survival. It's just a matter of survival. So I have to say, the numbers say yes, but the people say nope, not at all. We don't see it. We don't feel it. We don't touch it. We don't smell it. Okay, where is that growth? Yeah, that's what we're looking at. Hopefully, that open up your eyes in some ways. The report really, is something that I struggle in terms of economic growth and economic development. You know, yeah. So, good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mega, so we took him back.
It's all right. It looks like others are having a break.
I'm telling you, maybe they are just hustling there and there.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, you have to hustle. That's what all about. Yeah, we are the working poor.
Very much. Because if you can see that the teacher have to have something also back up, like some of them, you know, just imagine a teacher.
Yeah.
Professional, but you have to go ask even people to iron.
Yeah? Yeah? I'm telling you, really, he can't afford a house. He can't afford a house. Yeah.
She cannot. That's the thing. And now I'm telling you, it's not easy to live in Namibia.
Yeah.
Especially when you find yourself in Windhoek.
There was a research that I even mentioned here, that Namibia is the second expensive when it comes to living cost, you know, in Southern Africa. Actually South Africa is the first, and then we're the second.
Because I remember the other time, even there was a report, like I think it was on the BBC or CNN,
yeah,
that Namibia is even compared to what? Dubai.
Yeah, compared to other countries, even in Europe.
In Europe, just imagine.
Yeah.
But the country who is having a population of what? It's something.
3 point something,
yeah. Yeah, which are unemployed. And there is also a gap of between rich and poor, so widening.
Yeah.
And we're still just talking the same way we've been talking for 36 years.
Mm.
So there's no action, nothing been done. So at the end of the day, you are saying there's economic growth. Which one now? Are you talking about economic growth? If we're still having people are getting retrenched every day, we have a lot of people who are going in strike every day.
Mm.
We have so many. There are so many. That's why I'm telling you, I think if our leader serious to save this country, it's a hard time to take everything for action.
Mm. Maybe the question is, there was something actually the doctor said yesterday, the neo-colonial, I don't know whether I'm putting it right, neo-colonial system, you know?
Yeah.
That if you want something new and you're still actually using the old system, you know, that won't bring any change, you know? So you need to have something dramatic. And probably when we're talking about now a country like Burkina Faso's made a reference, it's because you really went far. You went on the opposite side. The only way, that's the only way you can be able to maybe to make the changes that you can make.
To change it. Exactly.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Remember what I was saying, there was also a report in, I think they asked a lot of South Africans.
Yeah.
What do they prefer between the military and the what and the democracy?
Yeah.
And most of them they went for military. You know why? Because democracy is some you can see that there's a lot of what a policy.
Yeah.
They preventing you to go. Even we know our leaders they are not by themselves, and this is what democracy we are talking about.
Because this is something that I also mentioned this morning.
The police want to change it, then to backfire you.
Mm.
But in military rules, nobody. Who is going to ask you why? What the law say?
Yeah.
It's no law. And it's what I think as a Namibian. We don't say okay, we need military. But
definitely not.
But sometimes you have to go to use that route of military.
But actually, it's not military. But can we find that the whole question is not actually is not either democracy or military? Can we find a middle ground where certain good things that we can get from when you are not caught up in so many system can get things done? You know, without really saying go military or democracy. So it's kind of like let's find a system that work for us to get things done, to get get our people where we want them to. Yeah, because sometimes you have people that are genuinely sometimes maybe look at our president who are genuinely want an improvement. You understand?
Yeah.
In the people's lives.
But if democracy cannot do it, Mike, do you know what I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
That is we have our traditional norm, we have our traditional power, which we are displaying our traditional authority now. Why do we don't come up with something with saying like that? Because every country is having their own method how to work.
But the question is still, what would the best system of governance that would get us there? So, look at the whole world, and you can look at different political systems. So, where you can say, look, a country like this have achieved so much because of their political system, and maybe that's something that we need to adopt.
Yeah, but for us,
when
I'm referring to our traditional, is that there are some law which you cannot even question it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our traditional way.
Mm.
But in democracy, everything has to be there's always
there's a descent. Descent where you said you can, if a number of people don't want it, yeah, that's it. You understand? You can have, you can have 10. You can have ten and nine who agree. Yeah. The difference is only one person, and then people follow the 10.
Exactly, yeah, is what I want to say.
Yeah.
Because the problem here, in our traditional, there's a way. And it's what I'm saying, if we can design up something like that, then we input as a policy in our government, like this is MPC, because you cannot tell me we have a green hydrogen even when coming to Namibia. But this is our natural resource. But they are saying it's not your resource until you drag it out of the what? The soil, from the soil, then it's going to have a value.
But you have one thing, the way of doing business is that, look, you know, do you have money to do that yourself? No, I don't. Do you have the personnel? No, I don't. And I'm coming to do that for you. So the one who coming to do that for you, or the one who have the money, 50. Have the power.
50-50. Otherwise, leave it.
Well, that's not what you prepared for. So you kind of like, you said, okay.
Like, look what is happening to Illanium now.
Yeah?
With 3%.
But do you have the capital? Do you have the capital to go 50-50?
No, it's up to you. Because you cannot tell me I'm having my cattle and then I cannot make it.
But then you are facing a critical decision where you say, okay, will I be at the point where I will be able actually to take this out? If you really know that there will be no a point where I will be able to take this out. So you will be prepared to say, well, let me have the little that I can have.
They need it, Mike. You know what? These people, they need our little raw material. All over the world.
Of course, they need it.
We are talking about the Chinese.
Yeah.
We are having 90-something. Then you only have, 80-something, then you only have 3%. Even South Africa, they are better than our own natural resources. They are having 10%. Just imagine.
But the thing is, if you were in the position where you can say, all right, well, if you don't want what I'm offering you, then you can go to hell, because I can do that myself and be able to do that without any help of anybody. Then you are in a stronger position. But where you don't even know what you have, you don't even know what you have, And you depend on some other people to come and tell you what you have, and definitely you are in the position, you're in the position of weakness.
Yeah, but make a sentence, before I give you a title deed, I have to find out why you are so interested in the what in my health. Maybe there's something in underground.
Yeah.
I have to make a research also.
You have no expertise to do that. You will have someone else from somewhere.
You cannot tell me, Michael, even like we spend almost 30 billion looking for oil. And these guys, the Canadian, they just, within 2 years, they already discovered that there's oil in the world.
Do you know what happened?
The people who have been looking, doing the research of oil, they're the one who saw that that's out.
Yeah.
They sell it as out because they're not telling me all those money which you spend, that's independence.
Sometimes they haven't sold you out, it's just because they don't know.
No.
Yeah, they don't know. They you are dealing with people that are an expert, have done this for years and centuries, and you are a new one, you are a newcomer, you are new, you are licensed. You are not really, really the qualified person, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. I tell you the concept that are being discussed.
It's different.
You know? That's the best, otherwise you lose. You know?
You lose, yeah.
You know?
Nobody will touch it, and they will preserve it for their future generation.
Yeah, yeah,
now
that's true.
Out, huh?
Yeah.
Then we learn out of it.
Yeah. No, the thing is that you can have a plan. You can have a plan. You can have a plan. I know now that I have this, and then yeah. I have actually to. For 20 years, it can be there, but let me send my people. Let me start having, you know, things that I need to get it out. So you can have a plan, even if it takes you 20 years, or even if it takes you how much longer. Yeah, it's, you can.
As long as you are going to, look, we are talking about oil now. Do you think our leaders even, they are thinking of what? Refinery. Not at all. They are not even in their mind.
Yeah.
So, and they wonder... We are celebrating, we are having oil. Do you think oil is going really to help us if fish which we are having is not already even helping us?
Yeah, but when you also talk about...
We to deal with even.
Yeah.
Just imagine our oil, if it's going to descend it, it's not going to reduce any price at all.
Yeah. Now, but sometimes we also go wild with ideas, and we can even say, "Oh, like refineries and things like." But first of all, you have to define. You have to, yeah. You know, I understand, but you have to define your market as well. Do you have the market? You know, you could have that, but then you know, who do you sell it to? You know, maybe people find it cheaper exporting, you know, fuel outside than actually from you. So then what do you do?
It's never going to be cheaper because you know, remember one thing, always, if a person wants to control your mind, they always come up with something nice.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put another, I think if you know, I can put it in the layman, but
yeah.
Okay, I'm Andy Mongola, 1.5, aye. Okay, and go here, oh, you know, 5,000, whatever. Man, I know what I want, and you, sometimes I even like play trick, which, aye, or 5 a.m. Oh, and you, we are desperate. Oh, when you know, 5 a.m, Marabotu, and the moment I go off, up. Okay, sometimes, and then I will keep quiet, even, aye, get going away for quick. Man, I said, next time I will show you are desperate, you are going to call me, and you'll find it, I am only 3.5. You take it.
Yeah.
And they need to develop a ship. The old time, Europa, they need our material. And the effect is there that they win there. Without us, they are not surviving.
Yeah. They'll find a way, my friend.
Yeah.
They'll find a way. Yeah, no, we it's time, man.
We are running out, man.
Yeah, we're running out.
Look what the Germans did, the green hydrogen.
Yeah.
They just proposed to us, then they went come out to Kenya, what. And then when you look at the distance, Namibia and Kenya,
yeah.
We are near to Germany. Germany, it will be they know themselves that it will be costly if they go to Kenya.
Yeah.
So they make like, no, Namibia have to pay stake and what. Or in Danish, Namibia went wide.
All right. So we take it up sometimes for Dr. Franz. And thanks for those who come through this morning and for your contribution and for you for listening. And let's cross to Windhoek to Tate Franz coming up with Kutha Moshe. Until tomorrow, let's do this again. At here on Ingal FM at the same time from 8 to 10 o'clock. So from me, Mike Oshoveli, I wish you a good day and a productive one. Goodbye for now. Until tomorrow.